the dancing. It's the dancers, like the whirling dervishes, you know, they use that as a means to get to an ecstatic state.
Yes. And you have to be a shaman who is so practiced with that, that the level of expertise involved is just off the charts to be able to do it for yourself. That's like the Buddhist monks who study these things for 20, 30 years to be able to achieve these levels of a nirvana type state that they achieve. And that's very hard to do. For us in the West, we tend to need things like meditation, hypnosis, or the herbs, the assistance of herbs, which themselves are considered kind of like minor tribal gods, each of these herbs that help us to achieve extra dimensional quality as well. Mm-hmm. So it just depends. It just depends. I'm sure that you've been with the ayahuasca before, Dr. Rita, so you may know about this, these things.
Well, I mean, I haven't ever participated in it personally, but I've read up on it.
Good.
You know, so, all right, I'm going to go back to what we were talking about a little bit before about these beings, you know, because one of the questions, and you're a good person to ask this question because you might actually have an answer for me. So one of the things that, you know, when I'm doing work as a medical intuitive or psychic readings or whatever, you know, I talk about my peanut gallery, you know, and I have like these three or four peeps. You know, I don't know their names. I don't care what their names are. Yeah, they're definitely my posse. I call them the peanut gallery. If I ask them a question, they don't say anything. But if I'm talking to someone, they're like total backseat drivers, and they're like, well, don't tell them that. Blah, 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 blah. It's like, we have a love-hate relationship. So how would you classify them? I mean, I know they're there because they talked to me in this year and only this year. You know, so would you say that these were potentially interdimensional beings? You know, I mean, I guess the bigger question is, how do ghosts fit into this whole thing? And this whole, what I believe, realm of non-corporeal beings, would they also fall into this interdimensional category?
I think they do, and it's a spectrum. It's like it's sort of like a spectrum of beings and things. One of the interesting phenomena, it's sort of like an epiphenomena that radiates out of the original, which is that one of the things that we found, and I'm sure you've heard this before, is that when there is an area, a cluster of intense UFO activity or alien contact activity in a certain community, an area of a community, people will actually be, because then the interviews happen and people come and interview the contactees and speak to them and, you know, what else was going on in your area? In people, especially in MUFON, we do this where you ask a wide range of questions to the people and you find out what else was going on in your area. Like the physical questions, like, you know, was there a lot of Air Force activity that was going on in this area? Were you seeing a lot of jets before the alien contact incident happened? And one of the strange things that has been documented again and again is that with these clusters of contactees who have alien visitor experiences, sometimes positive, sometimes negative, they will also in the same range of time experience ghost experiences or crypto creature experiences in the same range of time within the same week or 2 weeks that the alien contact visitor experiences happen. But here's the weird thing. The other experiences like ghost or spirit experiences or the crypto creature experiences that also go on will be completely unconnected to the UFO experience, and I'll give you an example. We have some witnesses that will, and this is documented in my book, The Extra Dimensionals. We'll have witnesses that had their alien visitor experience. They had interchange with the alien visitors. They had some kind of contact experience, but they were not abducted. They're still there. And within a couple of days, they'll come out to their kitchen at night. Let's say it's close, really late at night. For some reason, they couldn't sleep, and it's 3 a.m. They come out to their kitchen, and their dead uncle that passed away will be out there in the kitchen wanting to speak with them and give them a message, a very important message. And usually the message has something to do with, you know, take care of your family, watch out for this one, that one, and something positive. And the witness will then ask the spirit of the dead relatives at the floor, so why are you here now, of all times, appearing now? Does it have anything to do with the alien contact that we had recently? And invariably, the spirit will always say, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what that is. I have no idea what alien visitor means or what it is. And so that was a shocking thing, because and in some instances, it was like the same day that they had the alien contact experience, and dead relatives will show up. So that it just is terribly obvious that that's not a coincidence. A dead relative you haven't heard or seen from 30 years suddenly shows up in non-corporeal form on the day that you have alien contact experience. So that's not a coincidence. It's just not.
But see, that makes totally sense to me.
Yeah, and yet we have documented cases again and again where the spirit that appears as a result of the UFO experience or alien contact experience has no idea what the person is talking about, has no idea what an alien visitor is or what a UFO is, and they just don't know what the person is talking about. So it leads to that sort of, what do you call that? The idea of a morphogenic energy sites, where a portal opens up and there is more than a single phenomena that shows up through this portal. And it makes sense that once something interdimensional passes through, more things can pass through. And sometimes they just have no idea of why this happens or when or what the reasoning is behind it. So yeah, I think what you're saying is a part of the extra dimensional hypothesis, is that yeah, a lot of these different phenomena use the same portals, the same sites to come through, and a lot of times they have nothing in common with each other except that they are extra dimensional in nature, or interdimensional, however you want to think of it. Yeah.
But it makes sense on some levels if they're having this interdimensional experience that their psychicness would open up. You know,
yes,
I mean, I sit there and talk about there's spirits around all the time, you know, and, you know, grandma might come visit you. I mean, people freak out. I get I have this attached entity. I have these ghosts in my house. And I'm like, well, do you know it's not grandma? You know, do you know it's not your brother that passed away? I mean, how do you know it's something evil? It might be a family member that's coming to visit. And it just makes me wonder if their awareness is heightened, and now they're seeing Uncle Fred sitting at the kitchen table drinking a cup of coffee.
Right. One of the things I always recommend to people in my books is that there are a lot of trickster entities, and that if they are confronted with a spirit that claims to be a relative of yours, you should always ask the entity some sort of intimate questions that only that relative would know, that no one else would know, because a lot of times that will expose a trickster sort of spirit, a trickster entity that is just imitating the form of that particular relative. Because these things are, and this is part of the extra dimensional hypothesis, these things are desperate for connection with us. and the reasons why are a whole thing unto themselves. But they are desperate for a connection to us because they need our consciousness. They need our attention. They need our desire, our wonder, our interest. And that helps them to incorporate. To come to our physicality, to gain a greater reality for themselves. And so that's why they need that. They need that connection. And so a large portion of these spirits that are pretending to be your relatives tend not to be. And so people need to reveal that real quick and expose that fast.
I guess it's good that I'm just very kinesthetic because I can just feel them, you know, and feel what they're like, and you can tell.
Kinesthetic. I like kinesthetic, but I have to get to a dictionary, okay, so that I can reveal the meaning on that one.
Like right this second?
No. You're my dictionary.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, touchy-feeling, you know.
Oh, okay. And that helps your spiritual awareness as far as things.
Well, I mean, it allows me to tap into people's emotional energy. That's John D'Souza. His book is The Extra Dimensionals. His webpage is johntamabooks.com. And thank you for watching this portion of our interview with John.
Der ist weg. Und er hat alle Seile mitgenommen.
Was?
Ich hab geschlafen. Als ich aufgewacht bin, war Belzina weg.
Ja, und dann?
Ich war draußen, ihn rufen.
Und wie lang ist er weg?
Okay, turn on.
What is that?
Called sound.
I know that, thank you. What's the point?
I need to compare the numbers, confirm my suspicions.
Compare them to what? Suspicions of what?
I'll explain later.
No, I want you to explain right now. I want to know what the hell this tin can is.
Yeah.
Yes, I've got to be around.
I was in the elevator with the ghost. 5 o'clock in New York City. Even the coast goes home.
That's disgusting.
Because what I am going to tell
such
you
a drama queen
is there will be
truth.
No suckage of any kind anymore.
And the strange myth
this is the
ever,
37th time
and that is
I have spoken to you from this office.
President Nixon,
where so many decisions
has a face
have been made
that looks like a
the
foot.
Of this nation. Each time
I was walking by the television set,
and I
said,
in my public life,
hey,
I have always tried to
why isn't there a shoe and a sock on that? And it was President Nixon having one of his face-to-foot confrontations.
You give your child a firearm, be it an air rifle or a championship matchmaker.
Nice choice.
I know. I love static.
Are you sure
yeah, it was all about your humming sucks, but...
I got money. It's in my suitcase.
Do a lot to help pay the bill.
Hold on, buddy. I got money. Listen, pal. I got $100K in my suitcase.
Thank you.
Please. No.
That's very nice.
Wait! No! No!
I think it's time for a love booster. That's right. Now we're 70,000 love points. Oh, just look at that handsome mug.
It likewise promises only that it will help normal people make fuller use of their normal personality.
What do I have to say? Looking back on this grand life, my heart so full of the memories of the world, yet what do I pass on? As a little girl, my imagination was oh so big. That innocence, that hope. I've seen it all. I've lived it all. But what can I say? I remember that childhood home and the beacon of light always keeping me lit in the dark. I was the captain who steered into the action, that feeling of being alive. You couldn't stop me now. That need to explore was in my blood. Figuring out the universe. and appreciating even the smallest parts of it. That first electric moment of two souls connecting. I knew I was unusual, more colorful than others. And those colors attracted other big colors. And I feel that girl still pulsing through my veins, like butterflies fluttering by. My years on this earth may have been simple, but I've lived it in a way that can never be told through words. The only way is to show you. Just allow ourselves to see the world from a different perspective.
Let us provide new hope for real tax reform. Instead of shutting down classrooms, let us shut off tax shelters.
Sit there, please. It's not safe.
Instead of cutting out school lunches, let us cut off tax subsidies for expensive business lunches
that are nothing more than food stamps for the rich.
I'm not here to hurt you.
The tax cut of our Republican opponents takes the name of tax reform in vain.
It's okay.
It is a wonderfully Republican idea that would redistribute income in the wrong direction. It's good news for any of you with incomes over
$200,000 a year. For the few of you, it offers a pot of gold worth $14,000. But the Republican tax cut is bad news for the middle-income families. For the many of you,
they plan a pittance of $200 a year. And that is not what the Democratic Party means when we say tax reform.
I'm lying. You know he's running Hit TV.
The vast majority of Americans cannot afford this panacea.
From a Republican nominee who was denounced the progressive income tax as the invention of Karl Marx. I am afraid he has confused Karl Marx with Theodore Roosevelt.
fresh new contestant. Are you ready to be completed? Not. So he's worth 200,000 love points. Until next time, players.
Okay.
Happy hunting.
We had all sorts of craziness. And I remember that when it aired, we got a lot of emails and we also, as you'll see, have this character sharing a consciousness, you know, with a guy who's turning transparent through crazy Alfred Stacey technology. And no one complained about that, but they got emails.
We get, how did the plane land?
Yeah, exactly. Or people saying, you know, like the Kennedy Building.
Right.
No, but like that was the kind of thing that people, you know, and it's interesting.
Or an old lab, yeah, an underground lab. Yeah, which, like, by the way, free. They do.
but the point is, here's the lab. But the point is that when you have characters that hopefully you connect with, you'll sort of go anywhere with them.
Right.
And you'll go to fantastical, you know, places. But when there's something that is relatable, it doesn't feel quite right. It's funny how people have problems.
I mean, I think audiences want to go, they want to escape into those kind of crazy, you know, alternate worlds. And
you never know what it's going
to
be.
Yeah, you just have to give them a reason to go there, you know, and it's usually about something very small.
Because they got an up-close view of me. And I don't know if these were drones or if these were angelic beings of some kind. I don't know what they were. All I know is they were multicolor. I've never heard these before. I've never seen these on video before. To my knowledge, I may be the only person that's ever seen these type of UFOs.
This is Glenn Campbell. Just how important is respect, self-confidence, and responsibility? Is it important enough for you to teach it to your son or daughter? When you introduce them to their first firearm, Enroll them in the National Rifle Association's junior program. They'll learn firearm respect, responsibility, and gain self-confidence that will last a lifetime. Write to the NRA, Scott Circle, Washington, D.C., 20036 for more information on beginning a lifetime sport.
That obscure Republican president who sought and fought for a tax system based on ability to pay. Theodore Roosevelt was not Karl Marx, and the Republican tax scheme is not tax reform. Finally, we cannot have a fair prosperity in isolation
from a fair society. So I will continue to stand for a national health insurance.
We must not surrender to the relentless medical inflation that can bankrupt almost anyone and that may soon break the budgets of government at every level.
Let us insist on real controls over what doctors and hospitals can charge, and let us resolve that the state of a family's health
shall never depend on the size of a family's wealth.
The president, the vice president, the members of Congress have a medical plan that meets their needs in full.
And whenever senators and representatives catch a little cold, the capital physician will see them immediately,
treat them promptly,
fill a prescription on the spot.
We do not get a bill even if we ask for it.
And when do you think was the last time a member of Congress asked for a bill from the federal government?
And I say again, as I have before, if health insurance is good enough for the president, the vice president, the Congress of the United States,
then it's good enough for you and every family in America.
There were some
who said we should be silent about our differences on issues during this convention, but the heritage of the Democratic Party has been a history of democracy. We fight hard because we care deeply about our principles and purposes. We did not flee this struggle. We welcome the contrast with the empty and expedient spectacle last month in Detroit,
where no nomination was contested, no question was debated, and no
one dared to raise any doubt
or dissent.
Democrats
can be proud that we chose a different course and a different platform. We can be proud that our party stands
for investment in safe energy instead of a nuclear future that may threaten the future itself. We must not permit the neighborhoods of America to be permanently shadowed by the fear of another Three Mile Island. can be proud that our party stands for a fair housing law to unlock the doors of discrimination once and for all. The American house
will be divided against itself so long as there is prejudice against any American
buying or renting a home. And we can be proud that our party stands plainly and publicly and persistently for the ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment.
Women hold their rightful place
at our convention,
and women must have their rightful place in the Constitution of the United States. On this issue,
we will not yield, we will not equivocate, we will not rationalize you, blame or excuse.
We will stand for ERA and for the recognition at long last that our nation was made up of founding mothers as well as founding fathers.
A fair prosperity and a just society
are within our vision and our grasp, and we do not have every answer.
There are questions not yet asked, waiting for us
in the recesses of the future.
Recesses of the future. But of this much we can be certain, because
it is the lesson of all of our history. Together, a president and the people can make a difference.
I have found that faith still alive.
Travel across this land. So let us reject the counsel of retreat and the call to reaction.
Let us go forward in the knowledge that history only helps
those who help themselves. There will be setbacks and sacrifices in the years ahead. But I am convinced that we as a people are ready to give something back
to our country in return for all it has given to us.
Let this be our commitment. Whatever sacrifices must be made will be shared and shared fairly. And let this be our confidence. At the end of our journey and always before us shines that ideal of liberty and justice. In closing,
let me say a few words
to all
those that I have met
and to all the
Secret Service makes me nervous. When I am dating, they are waiting to observe us. When I get ready to hold steady for a kiss, he'll plant. The Secret Service makes me nervous and I can't.
There were
hard hours on our journey.
And often we sailed against the wind.
But always we kept our rudder true. And there were so many of you who stayed the course and shared our hope. You gave your help, but even more, you gave your hearts. Because of you, this has been a happy campaign.
You welcomed Joan,
me and our family
into your homes and neighborhoods, your churches, your campuses, your union halls.
And when I think back of all the miles and all the months and all the memories, I think of you.
And I recall the poet's words.
And I say,
oh, watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me.
What golden friends I had. Among you, my golden friends across this land.
I burst to tell you everything. But in the fierceness of my own battles, I strove to tell you only that which would inspire you and keep you safe. I love you so much. I know why you came here. Why you took the power of the light. We can't change. No, it's not fair. You're never alone. I'm with you always, just as I've always been.
Listen to Kenny DuBois, a glass grower in Charleston, West Virginia,
who has 10 children to support, but has lost his job after 35
years.
Just 3 years short of qualifying for his pension. I have listened to the tractor
who farm in Iowa
and who wonder whether they can pass
the good life and the good earth
on to their children. I have listened to the grandmother
in East Oakland who no longer has a phone to call her grandchildren
because she gave it up to pay the rent
on her small apartment.
Is there always spying? No denying. They're always peeping, gumshoe creeping, private eyeing. When I'm beginning to give in like a maiden, and the Secret Service makes me nervous and I can't. I've been exposed beyond control, just like a goldfish in a bowl. The president's daughter must drink water. No drink of scotch, she might do what she hadn't ought to. When I'm ignited, so excited that I start to pant, the Secret Service makes me nervous when my lamps are lit. And I say, this is it. The Secret Service makes me nervous and I can't. The Secret Service makes me nervous. Those White House dicks get all their kicks when they observe us. Just as I wind up, make my mind up not to say I won't. The Secret Service makes me nervous and I don't. When things look rosy, they get nosy. They'll say there's Tootsie playing footsie, very cozy. My pulse goes higher, I'm on fire, shaking at the knees. The Secret Service makes me nervous and I freeze. Whatever I may do or say will be reported the next day. When I'm reported, it's distorted. They don't see clearly when I'm merely being courted. When I'm just necking, simply pecking with a Cary Grant.
I have listened to young workers out of work.
To students without the tuition for college. And to families without the chance to own a home. I have seen the closed factories and the stalled assembly lines
of Anderson, Indiana,
and Southgate, California. And I have seen too many, far too many, idle men and women desperate to work. I have seen
too many, far too many, working families desperate to protect the value of their wages
from the ravages of inflation. Yet I have also sensed a yearning for new hope among the people in every state where I have been. And I have felt it in their handshakes. I saw it in their faces. And I shall never forget the mothers who carry children
to our rallies. I shall always remember the elderly who have lived in an America of high purpose
and who believe that it can all happen again. Tonight, in their name, I have come here to speak for them.
And for their sake, I ask you to stand with them.
On their behalf, I ask you to restate and reaffirm the timeless truth of our party.
I congratulate President Carter on his victory here. I am confident that the Democratic Party will reunite on the basis of democratic principles, and that together we will march towards a democratic victory in 1980. After this convention, long after the signs come down and the crowd stop cheering and the band stop playing, may it be said of our campaign that we kept the faith. May it be said of our party in 1980 that we found
our faith again.
And may it be said of us, both in dark passages and in bright days, in the words of Tennyson that my brothers quoted and loved,
and that have special meaning for me now.
I am a part of all that I have met. Too much is taken, much abides. That which we are, we are. One equal temper of heroic hearts, strong in will to strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield.
For me, a few hours ago, this campaign came to an end.
For all those whose cares have been our concern, the work goes on, the cause endures, the hope still lives, and the dream shall never die.
Yeah, it's a weird thing because in sort of the continuum of it, now you start to go something, there's like a bomb under the chair that I know is going to go off sooner or later, but I don't know what it is.
Or a smoke monster.
But they were flat, rectangular type objects about like this wide, about that wide, depth-wise. And they were about that thin. They looked like very thin, like a sheet of, a very thin sheet of plywood or something, with every color in the rainbow on them. And again, they were just kind of moving through the air at about 3 miles an hour over my head, 50 feet above my head. I'm just like, are you kidding me?
Have you done this before?
I have used this technique to extract information from a corpse once. You can do that if they haven't been dead for longer than 6 hours.
Right, because after 6 hours, that's when they're really dead.
Possible, of course, but it would take months. But maybe possible to redirect the transmissions from his visual centers to his auditory cortex.
Wait, you want to rewire his brain?
Not without his permission. It would be a minor surgery.
Minor brain surgery? Emphasis not on the minor.
I would need a specific piece of equipment. Magnetic neural stimulator I built in 1983. With a few adjustments, it would work.
All right, we'll just go back in time and get it for you.
No need to. With emergencies no
man can foresee. You be careful. You're in it now. It's going to get made.
You can come back to the show.
We'll still be here.
We'll still be here. Show is as good as it gets.
That is true.
Yeah, no, he was pretty clear.
Are you kidding me? Anyways, that was when I knew. They knew who I was.
Recommend alert 1. Recommend alert 1.
Raise the VLF radio antenna.
Raise the VLF antenna. Aye, sir.
Don't blame Daddy.
Just because I rock doesn't mean I'm made of stone.
Like the other little girls.
I feel you here.
And Max said,
it's coming through like static on my own radio.
All kidding aside. All kidding aside. We should have a sensational year in 1956.
Well, it could be that these internal feelings of rage are caused by feelings of impotence. And these feelings are being made to carry something.
Vic, you better watch out.
And he was awake till 5 in the morning.
It's okay. I got it.
I don't know what these things
come
were.
Come with me.
Some kind of winged...
Back upstairs, in his living quarters,
that did not
old
move.
Man Jonesy the wings did showed not him move where he was to sleep.
I don't know if they were craft, Boise, beans, or what, but they were multicolored.
The thing about that is that it's completely insane.
If this character being used here is the audience,
right.
You know, the way in, that clearly what he's describing is insane, and yet, as you hear it as the audience, you want to see what he's describing because you think, well, if this character can take me there, that's cool, and... Obviously, the stakes are hugely important.
Right. It's pacing and leaning. If
this character can articulate what the audience is thinking, i.e., that's crazy, there's no way that whatever happened, then you go, okay, well, maybe... although what's happening here is that she's actually open to this,
right.
And it's this character who's saying...
Right. So everyone is representing some point of view that you're,
exactly.
That you're thinking here.
I figure no one questioned this, because probably most people think it's possible to share a dream with someone or...
I think the reason that it sort of works is because this character is saying, this is the dumbest I've ever heard.
Right.
Like, if this guy weren't saying it, then you'd go, come on. But I think the idea that you get to play, a lot of times I think in stories, as long as you have the voice of...
What you'd be thinking.
Of the doubter or someone asking the questions. And then if the story doesn't answer it, at least you feel like it's okay not to have the answer. It's the thing that I think that J.K. Rowling does kind of better than anyone, which is that you know you have these crazy worlds, these amazing stories, and just when you're wondering, wait, what the hell is that character or what is that thing, almost inevitably the very next line is one of the characters in the scene asking that very question, and she either answers it then or lets it stand as a mystery.
Mm-hmm. Sort of oddly funny and disarming.
Abstain from the responsibility of doing so, and that in order to protect yourself, the conscious mind, from these feelings, you imagine that you are more in control than you actually.
You zombies. Listen,
let's take a look at today's conditions.
Don't talk.
First,
it was him or me.
That's not tape.
That's live, brother. That's live, brother.
You watch this on this map and show it's not.
Our signal's still strong. We still have a lock.
No, baby.
Thank you.
I can't travel down the Hollywood freeway. Be prepared for stop and go.
It's a bad connection.
Thanks for your collaboration. And remember, Don, come back again.
Nearly enough to cause that reaction. The iridium-based compound that multiplied in his bloodstream has turned him into some kind of receiver.
A receiver of what?
Transmissions. Someone else, it seems, and I'm somewhat jealous of this, has perfected our ghost network and is using it to communicate.
It's a job. That's all it is. You can come in here and start predicting Armageddon if you want to, Barry. But it's still a job. A job you did not even know how to do until I taught it to you. What do you think you're doing in here? Changing the world? This is a talk show, and you are a talk show host. And you hang up on people. That's your job.